we never read about, we never preach about, we don't talk about it. And in some cases, we try really hard to avoid it because it pierces the heart. So, Chris, if you'll bring up that map, please, or Jay. So what I wanted to do was take just a minute to talk about the place Corinth. Corinth is a small city that's still there, by the way. The ruins are there, but there's actually a real city there, too, Corinth. Corinth itself is a city, is one of the oldest cities in that whole region. It's over 5,000 years old. There aren't very many places that can say that. So it's over 5,000. It's actually pretty much the map, you know, the way it spreads out and all that kind of stuff doesn't do it justice. But it's pretty much as far south as you can get within Greece. Now, Corinth, in the early Christian days, like we're talking time of Paul, it was actually the center of Christianity for all of Greece. And Greece goes up pretty high. You see where it's Albania, Macedonia, gets up around Bulgaria and stuff. But it was the center of early Christianity. Of course, we have two letters there for the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Paul spent time there because Corinth wasn't just this wonderful city welcoming in, you know, a new religion, that sort of thing. It was sort of the pirate's den. It was the den of iniquity. It was a major port during the time of Paul and about 1,000 years earlier. So we're talking 1,000 B.C., but it was a major port. So sin abounds. What a great place to establish Christianity. So it was a center of trade. They had a huge naval fleet there. Corinth was one of the five areas or six areas of the nation states within Greece before it all became one nation. Corinth had a tendency to pick the wrong allies and go to war. So it was continually stomped on. It only won once. The rest of the time, kind of like a sports team, it lost a lot. It got overrun, slavery, all kinds of stuff. Now, the Peloponnese Peninsula. If you've ever watched the Disney movie Hercules, it's during the time of Greece, you know, mythology and all that sort of thing. And there's one point where Meg, the female and the heroine in the movie, she says, "It won't happen in a Peloponnesian minute." Well, she's talking about Peloponnese there and the continual wars. So it's a reference to this time period. So that gives you an idea of Corinth. Corinth had huge amounts of problems. Like I said, it was the center of sin. They had all kinds of issues. But what a great place to establish a new church. That got it going. And if you've ever read all of 1 Corinthians, each chapter addresses a new area of problems that the early church in Corinthians had. But let's go ahead and go to the verses, Jay. So what we're gonna look at this morning is 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to look at verses 23 through 32. There we go. "So I received a tradition from the Lord, which I also handed on to you. On the night on which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. After giving thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me.' He did the same thing with the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Every time you drink it, do this to remember me. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you broadcast the death of the Lord until he comes. This is why those who eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord inappropriately will be guilty of the Lord's body and blood. Each individual should test himself or herself and eat from the bread and drink from the cup in that way. Those who eat and drink without correctly understanding the body are eating and drinking their own judgment. Because of this, many of you are weak and sick, and quite a few have died." Other versions will say have fallen asleep. "But if we had judged ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. However, we are disciplined by the Lord when we are judged so that we won't be judged and condemned along with the whole world. Okay, so grab the Bibles in front of you, please. I'm not going to ask any of you to read this morning. So take that nice breath. I will not pick on you this morning, Lisa. I promise. Funny, though. Okay, you heard her. Lisa this morning is saying, Lord, game on. Okay. I love picking on you guys. You're so much fun. You put up with me in spite of me. All right. So let's take a look. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, those sections right there, verses 16 through 22, are all about division within the Corinthian church. Pride, ego, lawsuits, adultery, all kinds of sexual issues, money issues. It's just kind of pick a problem, they've got it. And then you get to 23 through 26, and that's the Lord's Supper. That's the specific instructions from Paul. And then 27 through 34, judging yourself. In the churches that I went to in Portland, and then out in Portland, Oregon, and then in San Jose, our senior elder pastor, was originally Southern Baptist. So that right away should tell you something of how his sermons were. They were hellfire, damnation, are you worthy, you're unworthy, you need to repent, all that kind of stuff. Now, he was a really good pastor, but I think in the Methodist church, you don't hear quite so much of that. It's more like, we love you, we encourage you, and then we whisper into each other's ears, get your act together. But we don't always do that very well either. But one of the things he would do, and I believe it's, on verse 29. Now this comes out of my New American Standard. For he who eats and drinks judgment on himself if he does not judge the body rightly. This goes along with, in one of the other verses in another letter, about the mirror. The man or woman who looks at the mirror sees their image. And it's actually meant to be the spiritual image, not you physically. You look at yourself, you go, wow, I really got a problem in this area. They turn around, they walk away, and then they forget the image that's in the mirror. Well, this also coincides with that. Some of the things that you deal with in judgment is they were not judging themselves rightly. Now, one of the things that the Baptists do, and I went through this in these other two non-denominational churches, if you weren't properly judging yourself, and in this case, what they're really saying, if you weren't, before you took your communion, repenting of your sins, that's the judging yourself part, then you were not worthy to take communion. Now, one of the stories that I've read is that here would be the deacons. You'd have the pastors getting ready to do the, and this was a larger church. The deacons are getting ready to set up all the communion elements. They would break the bread. They would set up the wine. But they themselves would not take communion because they had sin in their life. They weren't judging themselves. Well, I have a problem with that. One is that how many times, folks, can we repent of our sins? Well, a lot. But you have to keep from beating yourself up. You go, I've got a problem in this area. I know the problem is there. We're continuing to work on it. And to say that you repent, what does repent mean? What does repent mean? Yeah, you turn away. It's some of these things are really tough to turn away from because it's supposed to be like that. I'm not doing it anymore. All right? How many times you've gone to God and said, I'm not going to do it anymore? And how long does that last? Well, about 10 minutes. And I always use the reference of how many times you said, I'm not going to get mad at the drivers on Interstate 15, and about 10 minutes after that, you're blowing your gasket. Okay, More hands need to be up because I know better. Okay? Because I know how I am at occasions and other people. Yeah. So, the point is that those verses at the end of chapter 11 are all about looking at yourself. We are not Roman Catholic, or if you're not a member, you can't take communion. We're not saying if you haven't repented, you can't take communion. What's the stance of the Methodist Church? It's open table, open communion. What are the three types of graces? We have prevenient, we have justifying, and we have sanctification grace. The whole point of taking communion, it's all about prevenient grace for those that do not know the Lord, for those who have not taken communion before. They don't know. They haven't repented of sins and being born again. Justifying grace is, especially those of you that have been through Walk to Emmaus, but even in our doctrine, justifying grace is going through the threshold. That's the justifying grace. Going through the threshold, you're now being born again. And sanctifying grace is continuing to move in the ways of the Lord. But this whole section, after the verses 23 and through 26, when you start looking at the judging part, many pastors will not talk about that because they themselves don't quite know what to do with it. Now, I've been through communion where we had people in the other churches I attended where we did not take communion. But fortunately for us, we don't take that stance. It's you work through your relationship with the Lord by taking communion. Don't refuse to take it. Take it because it's part of that relationship between you and the Lord. So when we go to take communion today, before we actually take communion, I'm going to ask you to just have a quiet time and just pray to the Lord and say, Lord, what is it I need to work on today? What is it I need to work on this week? And then do so. It's not hard. And you know what? We take baby steps. We take one step at a time in our relationship with the Lord. And communion is part of that. Now, you're looking up here. I have communion set up here on the altar. The reason being is part of that, Lord, I want to be more reflective about where I'm at with you, is that I'm going to put the pulpit over here on the side railing, and we're going to use the railings right up front here. Okay? Because that's part of making yourself, of humbling yourself, submitting yourself to the Spirit of the Lord, saying, here's what I want to do. I want to recognize you as Lord. Because sometimes I think when we stand up here and we're just going through the motions in a way, you come up, and I see this in lots of churches. You come up, you take the bread, you have your wine or unfermented wine, or depending on where you're at, you might be apple juice or water. And then you just go back and sit down. But there's not that time of reflection ahead of time like we just go up and do it. It's just a routine. It's a ritual. But you forget that there's a meaning behind it. So this morning, I want us to practice that meaning. So when Raquel and I are giving you the elements, we'll have already taken just a moment before communion to go, what is it I need to work on in the Lord? And it doesn't matter what age you are, 8 or 80. Does not matter. Or 5 to 100. It does not matter. Just take that time to go, Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay. So we're going to move into communion here in just a minute. This is it's very short. But this is just a reminder of when we take communion, let's be in the presence of the Lord. You have to close your eyes. You have to clear your head and go, I'm not worrying about my finances. I'm not worrying about my car. I'm not worrying about my property. Oh, my gosh. What about work? What about school? What about life? And just clear that garbage out and just go, all right, Lord, what is it you want to work on? Or what set of verses do I need to read? You might be very surprised that the Spirit is going, okay, as soon as you calm yourself down, let's talk. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be something out of the Bible that says you are damned and going to hell. I don't think that's what you're going to hear this morning. What you're going to hear is, all right, let's work on 1 Corinthians 12, which is gifts and ministry. Or let's talk about Hebrews. I think it's Hebrews chapter 8, which is the famous faith chapter. You know, what is it the Lord wants you to look at this morning? So let's go ahead and close our eyes. Let's take just a minute here. Let's close our eyes. Let's just relax in the Lord. Just relax in the Lord. Clear out the messiness of life. Lord, we thank you very much for hearing us and for communing with us and for your spirit being within us. Help us to act on that which you want us to act on. Help us to hear, help us to read, help us to pray. Lord, each of us desires to walk deeper with you. Each one of us desires to be that reflection of Christ and of Jesus, to have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit, gifts and ministries, love, compassion for one another and for those outside of us. We thank you, Father, for everything that you do for us. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.